Yes, I've had some wonderful time in this place. There's probably two outside my own church that I pastor. There's a place in Montrose, PA, and Durham Full Gospel in Canada are my, by a mile, my favorite places to go. And I'm thankful to be here today. How many are thankful to be here? Amen. I'm going to preach a sermon today about being awake. And I'm going to need some signs along the way that you're awake. When you're awake, you may start singing joyfully. You may start moving around. You may start wanting to talk to somebody. I'm more of a night person than morning, but I'm able to talk. Even if I have to talk to myself, I talk. I was born that way, a very talkative individual. So I remember one of the first times I spoke here, the way it was sort of hinted by the founding pastor, Brother McKinnon, was basically these announcements were coming to an end, and he already kind of mentioned me and that I was supposed to get up there. I somehow misunderstood it, and I was ready to get up to speak, and all of a sudden I find this hand on my thigh holding me down. It was Brother McKinnon saying, "It's not the time." Did you ever have God do that? A lot of times people think a shepherd is just somebody who gives us comfort, gives us a nice sermon every Sunday. But God can also use a shepherd to restrain us. One time there was a brother that was prophesying. It wasn't a prophecy, it was more of a sermon. And my pastor whispered to him, "Pete, you're overfunctioning." And immediately he stopped. It was almost like somebody pulled the plug. So people have misunderstandings about pastors. They think they're only supposed to be people that go along with everything. You're not a good father if you go along with everything that goes on in a home, right? Sooner or later, as Harry Truman, the former American president, said, the buck stops here. So sooner or later, it's got to stop, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time last year, I was in a hospital. I had four different conditions that I don't have now. I went into the hospital. I had COVID, but I went there because I had a UTI, urinary tract infection, that doubled me over in pain. And then when I got there, they tested me thoroughly, and the doctor walked in, and he says, "You have a third problem, sir. You have cancer in your bladder." And so I've been tested a number of times. They've removed tumors. I was tested in May, and I was tested 2 weeks ago. They find no tumors. Now that's a better response than I got when I ministered in Costa Rica not long ago. We have a wonderful translator who was with us, and she got up to give this powerful testimony of how she believes the Lord delivered me cancer. And everybody sat there as if they were dying of cancer. People just sat. They were quiet. How many know we're not so, as a church, we don't have to be like in Pharaoh's tombs, do we? We need to be alive in him. I appreciate his brother who got to his feet and shared the word of God today with us. So amen. May the Lord do something in us today, quicken us by the Spirit. Amen. And I pray that it will carry over into the evening. Amen. So I don't mind amening. Sometimes the Pentecostal realm in my life demands amening. And so it means that you're interested. It means you're listening. It means the word is quickened. Amen. What the word amen means is so be it. So what you're saying to the Lord is, I agree. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I know there's people in here that do agree with God's word. I've had a lot of fellowship over the years. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to talk about today what God does when he's awake. Now that already should start making you feel better. You feel vibrant. Amen. The church is the last place we sleep, right? God wants us to be keen in the spirit. And 10 years ago, I had a brain tumor, 36 stitches in the head. And I was very, very keen in the spirit, even when I was going through all of that. And I was put in this room recovering, and these two black ladies were looking over me, wondering if I was dead. And I opened up my eyes and I said, "Bible ladies, both of you." And they said, "Well, sir, if you're saying that we're Christians or not, Yes, I'm a Pentecostal, she's a Baptist, and we love House of God and the Bible. I said, no, that's not a Bible lady. In India, a Bible lady is one that goes against the culture and preaches. And there are, and you can find them all over India. I like going to Central America and South America because many times the woman is the pastor and the husband is the elder. If you have a problem with it, you'll have to check with God on it. But all I know is sometimes that's just the way it happens. But, you know, in spite of the condition of all the nations, how many believe that we are ripe for judgment in this country? The book of Revelation talks about a sickle that's going to go down into the earth because of the wrath of God Almighty. But also there's going to be great fruit. But the Lord has a word for his people. How many believe that? Amen. God had a word for Noah. Amen. It's always a rise and build. In other words, what it is live in my life and do what I'm telling you to do. Praise God. A lot of times we're thinking, I should be doing this and I should be doing that. Praise the Lord. Do what he tells you to do. Yes, amen. Amen. Here's what he's saying to the church. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. How many believe that? Let's look at the Psalms, which are a manual for worship and comfort in hard times. I quote Psalm 2. This is going to be somewhat of a preaching and Bible study. That's just the way I work. I use a number of scriptures. I'll go slow so you can follow. Amen. But I believe that it's not just preaching a sermonette or little sermon, give you a little nugget. We believe in inspiring the people of God in a prophetic realm. We believe that. And I really enjoyed, I've been reading the Amplified Version lately, and I've just come across there where Paul's talking about prophecy in the Corinthians. How many know that we need more prophecy in the church? Amen. And if we Pentecostals have been weak, we have not at times moved in the prophetic. We have settled for the old hymns and simple messages on the cross, all that's needed. But the Lord also wants to bring us into the prophetic heart of God. Hallelujah. A human being has, we have four channels in our heart, do we not? God has four channels. Amen? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The servant, the man, the son. God has all four channels, and they all work quite beautifully. And God wants us to get in on the prophetic flow of what he's saying in this hour. So this message today will be a prophetic encouragement. All encouragement has warnings to it. God is warning Canada and the USA right now.
Yes.
And we are in trouble. And it saddened me the other day when I read, and right now the United States is very close with Israel. And God has a plan for Israel. Everybody's got different theories on Israel. Some overemphasize natural Israel. Some don't emphasize it enough. Jesus emphasized it all. He still hasn't forsaken his people because there's still Jews being saved. There's people right now that God has sent to Israel to intercede for that nation. And all they do is pray 24/7 in the city of Jerusalem as the bombs are hitting this way and that way. They're risking their lives. But it says all nations will come against Israel in the book of Zechariah. And that saddens me because of the potential in this upcoming election to have installed within our government a full-fledged antichrist government, which we have now, that's only going to get worse. And so even the United States will one day rise up against Israel. And even in one day in the United States, people will kill fellow Christians in the name of God. And we had the American Civil War, brothers killing brothers. This could very well happen in our places right here, this country. Grand-scale persecution. If we keep getting liberals in, it's a matter of time before we will have a full-scale persecution against the church.
Amen.
And if some of you aren't in the grave already, you'll get there fast, especially if you stay to your convictions. But I want you to know that the Lord is on the scene.
Amen.
And Psalm 2 says that the heathen and the rulers rage. But Jesus Christ has a God has established his king in Zion. And that word where he has set the king means installed. And you know, our prime ministers and our presidents get put in for a while and then they're removed. But this one has been installed. King Jesus. No one will remove him. So when you're under anxiety and fear, how many know that you're out of control? And the rulers of this world are out of control. They think they are. They are controlled by the prince of darkness. But humanly speaking, they're out of control. They're out of their minds. Some of them have been geniuses, yet they've been out of their minds. But our God is always in control. And so let's turn to Psalm 121. My message today for those that need a title for the tape, what God does when he's awake. Well, God never sleeps. Well, what do you think was happening in the back of the boat when there was a storm? Jesus was asleep, and he's God, isn't he? But when you have the power to wake him up with your prayers. I've had times where I've had overwhelming prayers because I was in a depth of despair and something happens within my being. It's almost as if the problem was lifted. God will either give you an answer to the prayer or he will deliver you through the prayer, through the problem. And what do you think Jesus was doing for 3 days in the tomb? But as I developed this thought this morning, I want to share with you the way he doesn't really sleep, he rests. Even Jesus was resting, see. Because you can't kill God. They tried it once. It's not going to work. And the Christ within you is all powerful. But we got to call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? A sinner that's heavy in sin can simply call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. It doesn't take much for God to wake up. Praise God. Now, what I'm going to read to you in Psalm 121 almost contradicts what I'm going to share today. Verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. What that means is permanently sleeping. Did you ever have rest that you wish you could just spend a couple more hours there in that sack? Have you ever been with somebody that you have to keep checking them to make sure they're okay? Yes, that's true. Poor Joe, he probably sleeps like a baby. But amen. God's desire is to make us to know that God rests, but he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. In other words, he's not permanently out of it like man is. And he will keep you, means he will protect you. How many have sensed the protection of God? He will preserve you. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It's interesting, we've walked through two hurricanes where we live. They're having terrible ones in the south, but we had some bad ones. I lost a secular job because a hurricane took it out. But I remember in order to get to work, I had to drive up a high road above the city. And when I was driving up this road, saying, my God, what's going to happen to this Binghamton, New York? This is not an ordinary flood. In fact, we have two almost back-to-back of hurricanes. And the scripture came to me. David says, and when the floods come in the earth, the Lord will lift me above the floods, even the floods that come into my soul. How many have had floods come into your soul? My God, I'm drowning in this thing. Am I ever going to come out of it? But I don't know, there's no better lifeguard than Jesus. Amen. How many lifeguards you know they can walk on water?